Presented by the National Association of Realtors.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Playbook co-author Ryan Lizza. It's Friday, March 29th. Here's what's driving the day. Three big stories we're highlighting today, all at Politico.com. First, there's more fallout from the internal revolt against former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel's hiring at NBC. Our Alex Eisenstadt reports that McDaniel's former colleagues at the RNC are threatening to punish NBC reporters at this summer's nominating convention in Milwaukee. Quote, "We are taking a hard look at what this means for NBC's participation." This would certainly not be the first time that Trump officials issued this kind of warning. You all remember that during the 2016 campaign, a number of outlets, including Politico, were at various points banned from Trump events. However, one thing to point out, media credentialing for the convention is handled by the Congressional Press Galleries, not the RNC. Though that doesn't mean that the RNC can't make life a little more difficult for NBC reporters if they follow through on this. Next up, today is the one-year anniversary of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich's arrest in Russia. His newspaper is marking the day with a front page dominated by blank space and the headline, "His story should be here." On this week's Deep Dive podcast, I sat down with Almar Latour, the publisher of the Journal and the CEO of Dow Jones, and he told me about the year-long effort to free Evan. You can listen to that full interview now wherever you get your podcasts. Finally this morning, our pal Jonathan Martin has a new column exploring a key 2024 question. Why won't Biden court the anti-Trump GOP? And J-Mart is joining me now to help us answer that.
Hey, good morning, Ryan.
J-Mart, you got a good one this morning. Why won't Biden court the anti-Trump GOP? Let's start. You want to start by answering that question?
It's puzzling because Biden's strength more than anything else is his retail political skills. Like, that is the essence of Joe Biden as a political figure, Ryan. It's like, this guy knows how to work voters, knows how to work other politicians. And like, it's puzzling that he has not put this sort of time and sweat equity into trying to, if not win over, at least soften the Republicans who were never going to be for Donald Trump. Now, look, a lot of them aren't going to be for Biden either. But as you know, Ryan, politicians like being stroked, okay? And if you do
you
the
say
stroking,
that like I'm not going to comment on that.
They like a touch, all right? Get out of your gutter mind. They like a touch, all right? They're politicians, okay? And he's a politician. He knows that. I don't get why he hasn't done it yet.
All right, so you start the piece with Christie, who seemed to have been more serious in his flirtation with No Labels report than I think was commonly known. Let's just start quickly with Christie.
Sure.
How seriously did he take No Labels?
He took it really seriously. In fact, he was basically their last best hope for, you know, top flight candidates. I think, Ryan, he knows how hard it would have been. And I think he just want to be a spoiler. He doesn't want to help Trump get reelected. But that's the point. Biden knows that. Biden knows Christie. They go back to when Christie was at the University of Delaware as an undergrad in the 1980s. I don't get for the life of me why Christie, who dropped out of the race for president on the Republican side over 2 months ago, hasn't gotten a call from Biden yet. And, you know, Ryan, Christie has said publicly he's open to voting for Biden.
And J-Mart, as you point out in the piece, this is the same Joe Biden that likes to talk about how he could work with Jesse Helms.
Yes. I mean, Joe Biden has been working with, cultivating, flattering, you know, lawmakers of all political stripes for 50 years, 5-0. He's got plenty of Republican friends. And Ryan, it's not like you got to roll them out tomorrow as Republicans for Biden. I guess they want to wait for somebody to later in the year. Of course. But you don't have to like wait to call them or to have them over for lunch. Like they got to feel some love and they're not feeling it yet. And I know people out there are going to say, these are such fragile, vain politicians. Like, why can't they just fall in line? And to that I say, like, have you talked to a politician before? I mean, have you read any of their memoirs or their private diaries or letters? Like, politics is personal. And the higher you go on the sort of political food chain, it's just as personal, if not more personal. And they care about slights and they keep score. So, yeah, he does have to put some TLC into this.
And nobody has the politics as personal view more than Biden, of course. You have five Republican senators you reached out to. I actually just want to go through them with you, J-Mart. Let's start with Susan Collins. You have some quotes from her.
Yeah.
What was the vibe check with her in terms of her level of waiting by the phone for the president to make this call?
Well, Collins is somebody who's worked with Biden for years. They share an Irish heritage and, you know, go back together in the Senate because Collins and Biden overlap there for two decades. And, you know, Biden has had a good relationship with her over the years, but I think it's kind of dissipated since he became president, especially in the last year and a half. Collins didn't like Biden's speech a couple of weeks ago, but it was too partisan. And look, she's not going to be for Trump. I am skeptical that she could ever be for Biden either. But, you know, this is somebody who comes from a state where they have a bifurcated electoral vote. So, you know, It wouldn't hurt to have her sort of, you know, more of an ally than anything else, right?
Mitt Romney?
Well, this is one of the most surprising ones because Romney is such an outspoken critic of Trump. And he and Biden have developed a relationship. And I don't understand why there's not been more of an effort to get Romney into Biden's corner. Romney told me he has problems with Biden's immigration policy, but obviously his concerns are much more profound with Trump.
Yeah. All right. These two are probably, you know, a little harder to see them coming around, but Todd Young from Indiana and Bill Cassidy from Louisiana.
Yeah, younger, much more conservative figures from, you know, obviously deep red states in both cases. But, you know, both of them kind of iconoclastic in their own way, Ryan.
Yeah.
And I think each of them kind of willing to suffer the slings and arrows for not being for Trump.
And finally, one that to me at least is the one of the more intriguing ones on the list, and tell me if you think I'm wrong about this, but might be more open, Lisa Murkowski. What did you hear from Murkowski World?
Who just criticized Trump very sharply. Somebody who has got profound concerns about Trump and really the health of the party. She's kind of like Collins. Could she get to Biden? I have a hard time seeing it. But boy, she could be an outspoken critic of Trump in a way that I think could be really helpful to Biden, especially with women voters. And it's surprising that Biden has not worked for more aggressively.
Last thing, Jonathan, what's the word from the Biden campaign on all of this and the White House?
They are, I think, fixated right now on the Democratic primary and more specifically trying to get those uncommitted voters who are concerned about the Middle East policy.
Yeah.
And trying to get the far left lined up, Frank. I think Biden himself in the last couple of weeks has really come to recognize the challenges on his left flank. You've seen a lot more intense focus on the third party challenges from the left among Biden's aides. And so I think that's been their focus, certainly since the Michigan primary.
Great stuff. Great column, Jonathan.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it.
And for your schedule today, the House and the Senate are out. The President and First Lady are in New York raising money. And then they head to Camp David. I'm Ryan Lizza. Thanks for listening.
The National Association of Realtors is fighting for housing affordability and availability before Congress. The lack of affordable housing supply is hurting the middle class and depriving first-generation and first-time homebuyers of the financial security that home ownership provides. That's why the National Association of Realtors has a bipartisan plan to expand home ownership. Learn more at flyin.realtor.com.